Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Hey, happy Friday, Magic back home after a week and a day off. Well, not off. They've been out on the NBA road and a tough road trip, and now an opportunity for a schedule to change and really make a push for the Eastern Conference playoffs. And with that said, hi everybody, welcome to another rendition of Magic Drive Time, wherever you might be around the beautiful Sunshine State. Here's what we have coming up for you here on the show. In about 30 seconds, I'm going to be joined by The Athletic's Tim Cato, and we're going to talk about this Dallas Mavericks team. Look, things have not been going well for them. They've lost 8 of their last 9, they've lost 3 straight, but what they do possess is perhaps one of the NBA's rising stars and one of its big-time future all-stars in Luka Doncic. We're going to talk about him. We're also going to talk about the trade where they got Kristaps Porzingis. All that and more around the bend. Just a reminder, Magic tickets are still available for tonight's game. All you have to do is go to OrlandoMagic.com/tickets and get your tickets today. Magic home for the first time in a little over a week since they hosted the Golden State Warriors, and their opponent tonight will be the Dallas Mavericks, a team that rolls under the AC, losers of each of their last 3 games, and it has not been an easy stretch right now for those Mavericks. And with that said, I want to go ahead and welcome in Tim Cato of The Athletic. First off, Tim, thank you so much for taking the time. How's your day going?
You know, it's pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. So let's talk about this Mavericks team. Things are a little bit different since the last time these two teams met, and I think I want to say it was December. What is going on with this Mavericks team right now, and is this a team that's realizing that they're going to lose that first-round pick if they fall out of the top 5, and now they're trying to make up ground to get into that top 5?
Yeah, I would say that the team is not overtly tanking. You know, there have been much more obvious tanking jobs that have happened, you know, in the past 5 years. I would say that the Mavericks last season was a much more obvious tanking job. That said, you know, when the only real talent you have on your team is Luka Doncic, and you know the second option on the team is Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, that there are just issues in Dallas and the way the team's constructed and the players who are playing, that does make it hard to win games. And so I guess a secondary effect of that is that the team is spiraling towards that bottom 5. And exactly like you said, that they would retain the pick there. So, you know, I don't think that this is, I don't get the sense that the team has to, you know, is worried that if they lose the pick, it's going to, you know, totally disrupt their plans or something. But at this point, you know, with the playoffs out of reach and the talent, you know, without Kristaps Porzingis playing this year, the talent not being high on your roster, you might as well, you know, see if you do retain it. And, you know, they're not doing it at the expense of, you know, losing every game by 30, although they have lost a couple games by 30 in the past few games, in the past couple weeks. But this is certainly a team that is, let's just say, not worried about wins or losses when they go into each night. They're more worried about development and, you know, other intangibles like that.
Absolutely. How big of a loss was J.J. Barea for this team?
He was the engine that really made things move on the second unit. If you looked at his numbers, the bench's numbers in terms of on-off, you know, consistently when Barea was on the court, he and his lineups, you know, he and the players who played in those bench lineups with him would outscore opponents by, 5 or 6 points over 100 possessions. Essentially, they were always having, you know, really good plus-minuses, after each game. There was many times where the starters would collectively be, you know, -2, -3, maybe break even. But then the bench would go +8, +9, and that wins you a game right there. If the bench is able to outscore, you know, the opposing bench by, you know, say 10 points in any given game. So losing him was certainly when I personally declared the playoff race dead for this team. I think there's others on the team who kind of agree that without JJ, you know, doing what he did on the second unit and having one of his best seasons, you know, I think these past 2 seasons have seen him, especially with hitting his 3-pointers at a higher clip, you know, he had really reached a special level in terms of his own game. And once he went down, it became much, much tougher.
Well, I will tell you what, I've watched him numerous times play against this Magic team, and every time it seems like he is one of the catalysts that eventually propels the Mavericks past the Magic. But okay, let's talk about it. And it's obviously the thing that everybody is following with this Mavericks team. It is Luka mania. It is Luka Doncic and everything that he has done in this rookie campaign. You wrote a fantastic piece in The Athletic about why Trae Young right now is getting a lot of fanfare, and rightfully so, because the media need a story. They need this thing to be competitive. But without any doubt, if there were no ifs, ands, or buts about it, if the Rookie of the Year race ended today, it would have to be Luka Doncic, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's just there's no doubt. And I think that there is very little that Trae could do in these past, the coming month, that I think would propel him past this. And I love Trae. I love Trae coming out of the draft. His past month has equaled, maybe even surpassed by a tiny bit, what Luka has done in terms of performances. But you know, you look at Trae, what he did in, he had a good January, but it wasn't quite Luka's. And his December and November, you know, don't really hold, don't really compare to what Luka was doing. It's just a matter of that, you know, as good as Trae has been of late, and as good as he looks like he will be, and as optimistic as Hawks fans should feel about him, you know, this is no slight in any manner to Trae, but to say that he deserves the award over Luka just kind of ignores what Luka has been doing for, really since October and especially since December when he really picked it up. And I just don't think that when you compare stats and compare impacts and compare situations, that in any manner you can make a case for Trae over Luka. I think it's very, very clearly Luka as the front runner and eventual winner as we reach the end of the season.
Oh, absolutely. But to me, you know, the amazing thing is that on draft night when that deal was made, it appeared like the Hawks were making the bigger risk. Like, yeah, they got the first round pick, but you didn't know where that was going to fall based on how he would play. Is it only fitting that it's going to come down to those two guys who, you know, for their entire careers in the NBA, no matter what, are going to be linked together because of that night?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's exactly it. You're exactly right. You know, I do think that, there's always going to be some comparison between the two. We as sports fans love knowing, you know, who wins and loses. It obviously games is the main area where that comes about, but you know, who wins and loses a trade, that's almost just as important, just as talked about. You know, that's a storyline that can carry over for weeks and months and years. And I do think that in this case, this is because it's, the two most exciting players in this draft class, it certainly appears that Trae and Luka will go down as those two best, at least most exciting, if not best.
Well,
given all that, you know, I do think that this narrative will continue for a long time. So it is fitting that these two.
Oh, absolutely, and it's going to be fascinating to watch for however long they play, you know, especially if they have careers like Dirk Nowitzki has, you know.
But
you look at Luka, 21.5, 5 assists per game, 7.3. He is a stat sheet stuffer no matter what, but if you're looking at him and you've watched him far more than I have, what is the next step in his game? Where does his development go from here?
He still, I think, has room to grow as a scorer. And I think that he still has, just a consistency to what he does all around the floor as well. So there are still times where you will see him stymied by a athletic defender where he dribbles and dances for 10, 12 seconds and then just makes no headway and just can't figure out how to, get to one of his spots. And, you know, at the end of the game, you still look up and somehow he has 22 points because he has a knack for, you know, eventually breaking through in some way or in one manner or another. I do think that as a scorer, he can grow. I do think as a shooter, he can grow. He's shooting the step back three. You know, it's already the second most dangerous. Now it's light years behind where James Harden is, but it is a very dangerous weapon. But I do think he can get better at that. I think percentage wise, he's probably down at 33-34%. I wrote a story about the step back three, a month ago, and that's about where he was. So it doesn't seem like he's, substantially got better at that. So as a scorer, I think he can improve. And then he just makes mistakes as any rookie does. His turnovers are high. I think they will always be high. And I think that's good. You know, I think that means he's playing the way he wants to play and the play that's beneficial, but you know, he still makes mistakes. He misses passes. He is surprised by defensive coverages and just as he, you know, continues to, you know, adapt to the NBA. It's, you know, those are the type of things that he's going to start to iron out, smooth out, you know, just all around have his game where it's, you know, a more consistent thing on a nightly basis. And he does, and he has a lot fewer clunkers where, you know, he's maybe only putting up six, you know, I think he's had a couple games where he's only put up like 9 or 10 points. So, you know, I think that's the biggest area. And, you know, I think it's coming. I think we've even been seeing it in the past few weeks.
Did it surprise the front office how fast he got comfortable and how almost immediately Rick Carlisle was okay with just giving him the basketball and letting him run the offense?
Yeah. It was a shock. It was, you know, even it's not realistic to expect a player to come in like this. I mean, this probably is the best rookie season for a teenager, you could argue ever. And you know, it's right up there with LeBron James's, it's right up there with a few other teenagers. Obviously, you know, a lot of the all-time greats had amazing rookie seasons. They had him a bit older than 19, but no, it's just incredible what he's done. You know, nobody, you know, even when he came to camp, you know, people were telling me, man, this kid's good. He's good. He's everything we thought. He's better than we thought. And even then, nobody would have said, you know, runaway rookie of the year. Averaging almost 22 points. You know, I think ever since the team traded for four of their five starters, you know, he's averaging something like 25 points and 9 rebounds and 7 assists. And that's just nuts. That's like top 15, top 10 player in the league type stuff. And, you know, he's not quite there yet, but he's knocking right at the door. You know, I'd already say that he's, you know, at least top 25, top 30 player, which is, you know, certainly, at least as an offense on the offensive side, that defense will slowly catch up over time, but it's just sensational. It's not at all, what anybody would have expected, because it's not reasonable to expect what he's done.
Oh, absolutely. It's been fantastic to watch all year. Right now, talking with Tim Cato of The Athletic, does a great job covering this Mavericks team. Okay, from one building block to essentially the next, which is Kristaps Porzingis and the trade that they made right before the NBA's trade deadline. Tell us why this deal happened, why they felt it was appropriate now, and how they plan to pair those two together next year.
You know, once they realized Luka was ready this quickly, that he was going to be ready to go, it just made sense to go find him a superstar now, because Luka can win now. He is ready to do it. He, you know, there's no gradual process. Dennis Smith Jr. is a player that a lot of players, you know, a lot of people in the Mavericks front office still like him, but it is very clear that he is going to need 3, 4, 5 years to develop into a winning player. Should he do that? And so, given that, it made a lot of sense, especially as it became more apparent, you know, to Dennis Smith that his future was not in Dallas, and that Luka was quickly going to surpass him, and indeed did surpass him. Once that was realized, once Dennis wasn't totally pleased with the situation, you know, there's a weird hiatus. It made sense to go find another superstar, and in that case, you know, Kristaps was there. He was available. I think that both sides, both New York and Dallas, had a really good understanding of what the other person wanted, and it was just a matter of New York saying, "Okay, we are actually ready to trade KP now. We're ready to send you Porzingis. We know what you have available," and in that sense, you know, the trade came together in probably 36 hours. It was just a matter of, you know, making sure, you know, walking through all the steps and both sides making sure that they're certain this was what they wanted to do. But the you know, the ramifications of this trade itself were not, you know, that had probably been known for months, and just what was available. It just was a matter of whether New York could get to a point where they were truly ready to deal Porzingis. And so for Dallas, you know, they are shocked. I mean, in some ways that Dennis Smith Jr. turned into a player who is, also young, but immediately ready, and you know, arguably, you know, another top 30 player or something like that. You know, in the same way, New York was happy with what they got. So I do think, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, it does matter. You know, this does hinge greatly on free agency for New York in terms of how it works out for them. It hinges on Porzingis's knee and making sure he recovers fully from it. But I think both sides like what they got, and for Dallas, you know, it just makes sense to build that, you know, two of your main core moving forwards right now. And now you have a lot of time, because they're so young, to go get a third player, a fourth player, whatever else you need to complement these two young stars.
Well, one guy that they both can certainly still learn a lot from is Dirk Nowitzki, which I thought was fantastic. He had started five games prior to that game against Washington. What was the decision making with starting him those games? He was upwards of 20 to 25 minutes in those games where he's mostly been averaging around 10 or 11. Why those starts? And, every time we get a chance to see him in Orlando, you start to wonder, is this the last time that he will be here in Central Florida? Just how has this season been for Dirk, and how has he taken it in stride?
Yeah, I think the reason I kind of pushed back against the you referring to the team as tanking more or less was that I think the one thing people keep telling me is they're not just going to lose, just like ugly lose, or at least they're not going to try to ugly lose games in an ugly manner because this is probably Dirk's last year. And so, to do right by Dirk is to hopefully send him out on a somewhat respectable note where, the team's still fighting every night and still playing up to capacity. And certainly, again, the team is going to lose games because that's the way it's constructed. And if they get that pick, I think that's another beneficial asset for them to have in their rebuild. That said, I do think that, they're going to do as much as they can for Dirk. It's very possible, he did start five games. He has looked better. He's still rather inefficient. I think this is the first season since his rookie year that he's been more unhelpful than helpful, that he's hurt the team more than he's helped them, and that's saying something. Even last season, he was still helping them more than hurting. He was very efficient on the floor. He I think he hit three pointers, at probably a 41% clip. So given all that, if he had been able to do that again, it would make more sense that he possibly would come back for another season. But given how long it took for him to recover from that injury, given his still lack of effectiveness when he has been on the court, he's had moments here and there. He is hitting some shots, but just not at his normal rate. And so when you consider all that, I would say that it's probably a 95% chance that this is it, and that this is probably his last visit to Orlando and everywhere else that he visits.
Well, if we get a chance to see him tonight, we're going to cherish it, we're going to take it in, and we're going to enjoy it. And I know he's very close with Nick Vucevic, and that should be a special moment. Hey, Tim, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us. We really appreciate it.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime. I hope everybody learned a lot. I know I certainly did about this Mavericks team and what their plans are moving forward, and also about their young rookie stud in Luka Doncic. It's been a lot of fun to watch him this year. And he probably is definitely the rookie of the year, hands down. All right, when we return on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, we'll get you set for tonight's basketball game. It is a 7 o'clock tip time tonight inside the AC. There's not a lot of seats available, so if you're going to the game, make it happen fast. We'll see you on the other side.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Roof damage is not always visible from the ground. In order to make sure your roof is sealed and secure during rain and hurricane seasons, call Carol Bradford Roofing today for a free roof inspection. As the official builder of the Orlando Magic, Carol Bradford Roofing is a licensed and insured family-owned company who has been trusted for years to provide quality work and quality products to protect the most prized possessions under a roof, your family. To speak with a professional today, call 833-237-ROOF or visit them at carolbradfordroofing.com.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Welcome back. Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center rolls along. It is a Friday. Magic at home for the first time in what is seeming like forever. You'd have to go all the way back to last Thursday when they toppled the Golden State Warriors. For the last time they played inside the AC, and this stretch of basketball games is crucial. The Magic will play their next seven games against teams with records that sit below sea level, which is under 500. A Magic team that currently is ninth in the Eastern Conference standings, two games back in the loss column of the Miami Heat. So if you're going to make a run for the Eastern Conference playoffs, it starts today as they get set to welcome in the Dallas Mavericks for what is a 7 o'clock tip time. Hey, special thanks to Tim Cato of The Athletic for joining us in segment number one. I thought we learned a lot. I thought we shared a lot. And I also thought he made some really good points about Luka Doncic. Look, it is phenomenal what he has been able to do in Dallas. And it is even more impressive that seemingly from day one, they have given him the keys to the offense and said, go do your thing. We'll let everybody else kind of just float around and we'll let you run the offense. And, you know, Cody, when I thought about this and I started going through my thoughts, and believe me, I have a lot of thoughts on a lot of things. Now, where those thoughts go, I don't know. But I knew to know one thing that Tim made certain that I feel passionately about. That if Trae Young even had 6 straight 40-point games at this point, and it's very likely that he could. I think he had a week and a half where he just went off for 36 points in each of his contests. I still don't think it would be enough to give him even an opportunity at the Rookie of the Year race. That is how good Luka has been this year.
No, I think you're exactly right. I think Luka is the front runner, the far and away leader that's going to win that award. I will say, Trae and Luka are definitely 1 and 2, and one of the things for me that put them really at the front of the pack is that their performance has led directly to their team winning games. DeAndre Ayton is a fantastic talent, and he's going to be a good player in this league, but it hasn't necessarily translated for Phoenix. You look at the roster that Dallas has and the campaign that they've put up, only 7 games under 500 with Luka leading the way. That's why he's my far and away going away Rookie of the Year award winner.
And the amazing thing about it is that, like, these two dudes are going to be forever linked to one another, right? Because of the trade that Atlanta made on the NBA's draft night. Remember, they held the number 3 overall pick. Dallas went from 5 to 3 to jump up to select Luka. And now that you have these two guys that are seemingly the top all-stars of their rookie class, that are probably going to be perennial all-stars for years to come, and probably MVP candidates at some point, right? Keep up like this, like, I would think both of those guys will be MVP candidates. But the fact that they're both doing it simultaneously on the same timeline and they're forever linked together, we love drama in sports, and we love a good narrative. This might be the best one for the next 5-10 years.
It's really going to be fun because I think both players, two very different styles, but two players that are going to be able to propel their teams to good things. A lot of the pieces I like for the Hawks and the Mavericks with Luka, with Kristaps, are going to be able to make some noise.
And it's going to be fun to watch because both those teams, based on where their rebuilds go, are going to be on similar timelines. And hey, we could see them play each other in the playoffs for a lot of years to come. All right, that'll do it for us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamonds, in a very quick second segment because we thought we had such a good conversation going in the first segment that we ran a little bit long with it. You know what? Sometimes that happens. Hey, it is a Friday. If you're looking for something to do, go watch this Magic team. There's not a lot of tickets left for tonight's game. Go see Luka Doncic and his only visit to Central Florida this year. You won't regret it. All right, we'll see you guys on Monday.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more 3-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
Boy, yeah. People have fun.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.